Your house is fantastic. I love it up here.
It's thank you for having me. It's a very weird, creepy home.
Is it?
Yeah, you haven't seen the full creepiness of it.
We have a creepy house in Idaho.
You do?
Yeah, that people like. I love it so much, and I have a best friend from my school who's also there, and she, should I put these on? And she is like, I don't know how you sleep in this house by yourself. And I'm like, I love it. It is very cozy to me.
Yeah, we have like a whole natural history sort of dead animal.
Like taxidermy and stuff?
Yeah, my husband's a hunter.
Uh-huh.
He's a hunter.
Fantastic. My boyfriend who I live with is extremely outdoorsy and like from Minnesota and camping and the whole thing. And
do it's you like not, camping?
No.
What don't you like about it?
I don't sleep well. It's the sleeping that's like, and he really has gear, like camp pads and all the stuff that's supposed to make it super, comfortable. And it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. Look at this setup. It's serious.
Dear.
Ooh, you have stunts.
Listeners, yes, this is like our, second episode with our new
microphone?
With our
new fancy mics. Thank you, women.
We used to have these things. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. But now it's this weird thing that also sort of blocks my view anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So it feels like... Are we unqualified? These microphones make me feel like we're sort of qualified, even though we are not. Anyway, thank you, Lauren Graham. And dear listeners, our podcast guest today is Lauren Graham. And I'm so thrilled that she's here.
I'm so thrilled to be here. I am a huge fan of yours.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a huge fan. I love women. I just love women sometimes. But go on, tell me.
I just have always kind of, you know, those people who you go, ooh, I just have my eye on that person. I just enjoy watching what they do and what they pick and the choices they make. And like, I would watch you in anything. I just think you're fantastic. Yeah.
Thanks so much. I that means a lot to me. Thank you.
You're
very
welcome.
Much. I feel really fortunate that I've been able to play some pretty crazy characters. And I know in your book, you talk – I wanted to talk to you about this. I'm getting my notes together. My producer,
official.
Kim. Yes, look at us. We are unqualified. But I did want to talk to you a little bit about your book. And is that what you're doing? Are you doing a press tour right now for –
I'm not really – I've retired from show business, and I am just doing podcasts. That's my – one of my best friends has a podcast. I'd never done a podcast before, I don't think. One of my best friends has a podcast, and I just did that a week ago, and here I am. And then I'm doing Kevin Pollak's on Sunday.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I'm doing Craig Ferguson's radio show. So I guess – the message is no one really wants to see my face, but they'll listen. They're happy to listen to me.
But don't you think they're really, I don't know. I've found the experience incredibly fun. And some people, it's such an interesting format because you do have a bit of time with people and you're sitting face to face and you're not in whatever hair and makeup. And it's that people really reveal themselves more than in, say, like, I don't know. I'm always surprised by our guests.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them I haven't met, and I'm always surprised, like, so who sort of you can tell really, really enjoys it and who is a little bit more uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
I had to remind myself and here as well, because I'm usually so careful in interviews, you know, and like,
yes,
you're doing like a long magazine
something. Oh my God.
I'm just like, everything is wonderful and I'm not going to give you any gossip. But then in this format, I'll probably just tell you anything.
I think I spent the first 6 months just going, pussy, cunt, fuck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I love you, mom. Pussy, cunt, fuck. Woo.
Freedom.
Because it did feel like, is any, no one's going to listen to
course
this
no.
thing. I'm just talking into this thing.
Cut to, you're huge.
it's been a pretty amazing journey with this podcast. It's been really fun. And,
yeah.
And I'm just beyond thrilled that you're here.
Thank you.
I do want to dive into some stuff. Because we have a few different ridiculous things. But in your book, you talk a bit about typecasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to sort of hear some further thoughts on that because, of course, as a woman and man, I guess,
mm-hmm.
I bet everybody sort of feels that way.
Well, it's funny because there was at a certain point, I thought, all the stuff I learned in drama school about like stock characters and commedia dell'arte and stuff, it's what we do. You have your leading lady, you have a side clown, you have, you know,
right.
an elder, like you have these sort of things that recur. And within that, there's the amount of space something takes up. And I've played a lot of characters who, you know, we call it real estate, right? There's just, if I'm in a kid's movie, I'm playing the kid's mom. And those tend to just fall into a certain sameness, you know?
Yes.
So, and even when I was starting out, I was always like I wasn't known as being attractive. I was like funny, you know, and tried to do well in school and stuff. So I never identified as like the babe. I was always the friend, which is usually a more fun part anyway. But so for many years I was like the best friend or the wacky best friend or the, you know, and then I kind of graduated into moms and like, you know, some of those moms, very unlike Lorelai Gilmore, who was a fantastic character, and being a mom was just one piece of who she was. Mm-hmm. But they're just, you know, they're in film anyway. What I've gotten to do is like the moms. And so in the book, I sort of was asking the question, like, what's next? Like cranky grandma? Or like, I don't know.
I don't know what I grow into. I totally feel that. Yes. Yeah. Allison, Jenny, and I talk about this all the time.
Well, and Allison's such an interesting example, too,
yes.
of someone who has just always been, you know her because she's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know her as a something, you know,
yeah.
and that voice sort of dictates certain things she's going to play, mm-hmm. and her dry wit and everything. But I love that kind of career. When I first started, my first agent said, like, you know, whose career do you emulate? And I was like, Diane Wiest. And he was like, don't tell people that. That's like, she's like a fantastic, you know, working
yeah.
actor who's multifaceted. But
right.
he was like, can't you just pick somebody who's going to make me more money? You know?
I used to say Parker Posey.
Yes. Oh, and that's a good one.
And I got the same, though, like agent. Like I was expecting like, oh, yeah, like cool.
Yeah.
Instead it was like, just because simply they're, anyway, commercial.
Offbeat. So. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I do wonder for me as well. I wish it wasn't like this, but I'm 40 and I'm wondering like, so where's my next journey? Am I like, I'd love to be insane stepmom.
Mm-hmm. I think you are. I think you can be. Because I never get that. I always get like relatable, down to earth, you know, like I don't get to be insane. And that's why that chapter that you're talking, I think it's mostly in, well, it's sort of an overlap, but there's a chapter in the book called There Is Only One Betty White, which is kind of about, you know, there are these few people who've just always been able to carve out a space for themselves, no matter what age they are.
Yeah.
And I just always find that interesting because there's not that many people.
Right.
Right.
No. Like, oh, completely.
And then you see the people who are hanging on to like, I'm 35, I'm still 35, guys, I'm 35, you know, like
right.
they're never going to let it go. And
yeah.
I think that's not, I don't know, that puts you in its own kind of box.
A mental box for sure of insecurity.
Yes.
Because the train's left the station. We can't stop it.
You can't, no.
I wish I could sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we have more and more technology, I guess. But at a certain point, you're 40, you're 50, you're 60, you know.
Yeah, and you don't want to be like, I don't know. You can't fight it.
No.
Just be steamrolled by age.
That's, yeah.
I have we do a segment called Deal Breakers. So this is, I don't know if you're single or not.
I'm
currently.
Not.
Okay. But imagine you are.
Okay. Oh, it feels like yesterday. So I know that feeling well.
Are these deal breakers? Number one, he puts ketchup on his steak.
That's fine. Not a deal breaker.
I'm with you. Sim. Wow. Sim said he would not go out on a second date.
You're
kidding. He said that even if somebody says, well done.
Yeah.
He's a snob. By the way.
That happened once and Lauren, I was so annoyed.
This is my co-host Sim.
And we were at a nice steakhouse and she ordered it well done. And the waiter looked at me as if like, you know, should I say something? And I didn't know what to say.
Wait, I thought
I thought your deal breaker was someone saying the phrase, well done. I was like, wow, I don't know you at all, but this is tough going. Oh, if they order their steak, order
well,
steak
done, well done, Lauren.
At a yeah, nice steak.
Well done. Ugh, I'll never go out with him again.
But okay, not a deal breaker.
No, no, no.
Okay, I'm with
food
you.
Food things, I don't care, really.
Really? Okay.
I don't think so.
All right. All right.
Let's see. We might get to one.
All right. All right. Okay. I don't like that. His favorite TV show is Vanderpump Rules.
Not a deal breaker.
I like you.
It would call some things into question.
Sure. It might further examination. Like, well, tell me why you
right.
like it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think at this point, like, I used to be such a snob about reality TV. I can remember, like, walking out of the room when Survivor would come on, like, 20 million years ago when it was first, because I was like, this is taking things, jobs away from actors, and how dare we? And now I'm like, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have Shark Tank. So what can I, you know, I've got
it. Isn't that the great thing about age? That is the one thing, is that you let a lot of shit roll now.
I let a lot roll. And I have learned that is part of, I think, being a partner, actually, is really not getting caught up in almost anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because we're exhausted. I'm exhausted. okay, so I like that because I'm with you. Three, he nicknames his penis Mama's Boy.
That's a problem. jokingly or like that's what I'm supposed to call it? Or
he just said, oh, he says like, oh, Mama's Boy. Mama's Boy's arising. Oh, Mama's Boy. Better hop on Mama's Boy. Oh, yeah, baby. Mama's Boy.
I don't
deep
know.
Inside you.
Oh, wow. I'm simultaneously okay with it and horrified. So I don't love a dialogue with another, like when you anthropomorphize another part of your body, like forget penis for a second. Like if I was just like, little elbow baby needs a comforter. I'm like, why? Why am I talking to my elbow? So I think it's also on a first date, that kind of stuff would, I mean, not that I probably wouldn't.
Well, we're sort of all over the place. It could be at any stage in the relationship. Well, yeah, which
no,
I
think it
wouldn't be a deal.
I think it's, so let's say, because I like to really flesh out the story.
Yeah,
let's
no,
say
I
it's
it.
The first time I was sleeping with someone and they did that, I would feel very concerned. I would call my girlfriend and be like, I don't know if I can go out with him again because.
But would you still sleep with him?
Well, in this scenario, I didn't know what I was dealing with
until
I'm there.
Until you're there.
Oh, wow.
Would you ask him?
Why he's calling himself Mama's Boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would take me out of it. Like, I went out with a guy once who we were like lying in bed and he started singing like real up close to me, like singing like a you know, folk song or something. And he was like, and you could tell he thought it was like the most romantic. Yes, long time. And he was like, and I think in his mind, I'd be like, oh my God, that is the best thing, you know?
Right.
And I was just sort of like, I felt like that thing where do you have musical theater friends who come up and just like sing in your face, like full blast, you know? So that was tricky. So I think Mama's Boy, gosh, I don't know. Then would I feel bad? I don't know. That's an unknown deal breaker.
Okay.
That's a location, location deal breaker.
Okay. Number four, he buys you an electric toothbrush for Valentine's Day.
I just, my sister and I were having this conversation. I'm not going to answer any of these directly.
No,
I'm just
I love
talk
it.
For like an hour.
Because I have really strong feelings about all of them too.
My sister and I were talking last night about how lame guys are at Valentine's Day. And I've been with my boyfriend now for so long that it's not about that day.
Right.
Of course, I love flowers and something nice or, just like a nod to it. But my sister was in line, and she lives in New York, at CVS last night. And she said literally every guy in line had like a terrible stuffed animal and like a horrible box of
I really don't understand these men.
No. And she said some of them were like trying to decide between like a terrible bird stuffed animal or a terrible panda bear. And she was like, she wanted to yell. Neither of them will work.
Right.
Just like, forget, give right. up, get out of line yes. right now. And she was like, they're just so lame. And like, why?
Women in general aren't saying anything about that. You're just letting us buy the chocolates and the teddy bears and the stupid shit.
Well, because you don't want to be a jerk. Like, you don't want to seem ungrateful. And I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you say? Just like, oh, thank
Sim,
you. But can't guys.
You've dated a lot of like bitchy women.
Mm-hmm.
I think sure. this is where yes. that reveals. Because normal women probably would, even though it'd be lame, you would probably be like, oh my God, thank you. That is sweet. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Especially in as a first. You know, when you're just getting to yeah. know somebody, any effort, I think, is
right.
fantastic. And then after you've been together a long time, like, sometimes I look at my boyfriend's closet. I'm like, what other shirt, plaid shirt am I ever going to buy him? Like, you get to a point where you're maxed out of, you know, thoughtful gifts. And I think it's just okay to just...
But wait, you're dating a guy. Let's say you start dating... January 4th.
Okay. Tough.
And things are like
yeah.
going well. You see each other maybe three, four times a week, mm-hmm. like kind of a lot.
Yeah.
And then Valentine's Day comes around. Yeah. You get the box, you open it up.
Yeah. It's electric toothbrush.
Yeah.
There's so many the message it sends is your teeth aren't clean, which
right.
which then would throw me into a terrible anxiety attack. Like, how long has he thought my teeth aren't clean? Is the breath bad?
He said, like, all he says to you is, you know, I have one just like it and I love it.
That's nice, actually. It because that to me then turns that character into like he's a gadget guy, and you know, he's giving, I think the intention behind giving me something he loves saves it.
Okay, let's just say that he doesn't own it.
I have a friend whose husband, they're still married, and it's now 15 years or something more, maybe. For the first, I don't even know how many years they were together, he never gave her a gift of any kind.
Oh.
He would freeze up at events, at any kind of like birthday, Valentine, stuff like that, and he would just not, he'd panic and not get her anything. And everything else about the relationship was fantastic. And finally, a couple of years into it, she said, what is this? And he's like, you're so picky and I don't know what you'll like. And, you know, I just feel like it's like a waste of money to get you. Like, it was this whole kind of emotional thing for him. And the minute she kind of like gave up and was like, all right, guess what? My husband, he's not good at gifts, you know, or if I want something, I'm going to have to say, this is what I would like. You know, can this be my present? Then he started getting
wow.
it once in a while, you know? It was the pressure.
Yeah,
and once
yeah.
she said, I don't care if you ever give me anything, you know, our days together are gift enough or whatever she said.
See, guys are easy.
No, they're not.
Okay.
But I did think it was an interesting thing about, you know, it's like when you're trying to, if you want to write somebody like a really beautiful letter and you put so much pressure on yourself, you just never, you don't do it. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's call it a deal breaker.
Okay. 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 So now we are moving on to a scenario.
Okay.
This is a little bit new for us. It's somebody I've played before, but we're trying out an experiment here. It's called giving Kayla a home, but just forget about that.
Okay.
You are in Vancouver
mm-hmm.
shooting a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You are at the Sutton Place Hotel
mm-hmm.
in the Girard Room.
Okay.
You know it well?
I know the Sutton Place in Toronto, but I have a picture.
Yep.
Chain.
Yep.
Chain Hotel.
Yep. So you're having a coffee. It's 8 a.m. Your pickup is 9:30. You're reading the newspaper.
I'm in.
Okay. You're at a four top. There aren't that many people there.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Hi. Oh, my God. I am so sorry. I hate to bug you, but I am, like, your biggest fan. Oh, my God. What are you doing here? What are you shooting? This is so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. It's like you are here. Oh my God. yeah, what are you shooting?
I'm just doing a movie. I'm playing a mom in a kid's movie.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. My God. That's so cool. Oh my God. That is so cool. I'm trying to get into acting.
Oh.
Is that, what is that? What are you drinking? Is that like a latte or?
It's just regular coffee.
Oh, so, okay. Well, that's cool. I don't know. Do you have,
hi, Kayla.
Hey, Marco.
Kayla, do you
want to
Miss Graham,
cherry.
Are you okay?
I want to get a cherry tequila bomb now, Marco.
Is that okay, Miss Graham?
Listen, we're old friends. Don't even worry about him. But I just wanted to ask you a couple more questions.
You know,
how do I get into acting?
Well, the truth is there's no one path.
I've always known. I've literally always known.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That I want to be like famous and
famous and acting are two different things though.
And you get to do it and that is just so cool.
Right.
So you're playing a mom and a kid. I mm-hmm. love kids' movies.
I do too.
I have a really weird relationship with my mom.
Oh really?
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know. We're working it out, I think.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But
Kayla,
it's
I'm so sorry.
Cool. It's
Thank
Kayla.
You. It's
and,
so
and
nice
you,
to meet you.
Hey, I've gotten – since you're probably going to be staying here for a while, yeah. I'm here a lot. Can I just get your number? Because that way I can, like, ask you a little bit more in detail because I really need the help.
Oh, I understand.
Can I just
you know
get
what,
your
Kayla,
number,
I don't
can
really
I
give my number?
Number
out.
Okay,
but you seem...
I'll just program it in your phone.
Okay.
What room are you in here?
No.
Are you going under an alias?
See, I do use
you,
an alias.
I bet you don't.
I do.
You're so cool.
Thank you.
Okay. What's your alias, though?
Well, if I told you, then it wouldn't be my alias anymore. I just want to say it's so nice to meet
Marco.
You, and I wish you all the best. And
no.
I just have to work on my lines because I have
a
big day
you.
Of work today.
I'll totally
no,
help you.
No, you know what? I think I'm going to go back up to my room. I have my friend is staying with me. And
is she sick?
Ms. Grammy, here's your check. Here's your check.
Thank you so much,
my God,
Marco.
My niece
and here's your drink.
Oh, Kayla, I'm so sorry.
No, yeah, no, it's been really hard on the whole family.
Yeah, that can be really hard.
Yeah,
totally
is your friend like
my friend
like super? Is your friend famous?
No. It's just a dear friend of mine who happens to live here.
Sick.
It's been really fun. I haven't seen her in a long time.
And she's
so
up
it's
in your house.
Fun to...
Why isn't she like showing you around town?
She brought her baby. She's got a new baby.
I love
too.
Baby. Oh my God, I literally love babies.
Yeah, aren't
I
they
love
great?
Them.
Kayla, thank
oh
you
God.
So much for saying
oh
hello. It's been so nice to meet
okay,
you.
Okay, so wait, your room is 1207?
No, that's my friend's room.
You have a friend who lives here?
Yeah, she just
with
came
the
in.
Baby? Is she getting a divorce? Oh my
no,
God, did the baby wreck their marriage?
She came in from, she lives a little out of town, so I,
like where?
She decided
really,
to hang out
I
in
moved
the room.
Here.
Kayla, you're adorable, and I
oh
know
my
you're
God,
gonna be successful.
Thank you,
thank you so much
so
for stopping
much.
By. Okay, bye.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, Kayla.
She lasted pretty long, actually.
Yeah, you did. You were nice.
Well, something about Gilmore Girls, it really speaks to certain people. And while I like to maintain my privacy, I also really appreciate that sense of like, I know you kind of feeling. And,
cause it does mean a lot when your work really truly does touch people.
Yeah.
And, but I hear what you're saying, that you probably get a lot of people that feel very familiar with you.
Well, feel familiar. And this didn't – I never thought this would be the case, which is the show stuck around. So it's not just the in general – we have guy fans too, but in general, the young women who grew up with it. But in some cases, they're now watching it with their kids.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's been – around for that long. So, and it's meant a family thing to them.
And people watch it over and over
yeah.
and over. Like there's a lot of comfort
yeah.
in it.
But actually, I didn't really grow up with my mom. I grew up with my dad. And my mom lived in England for many years. And while I was doing that show, they would send it to her. It wasn't airing there, but they would send it to her. And it meant so much to her that they did that. And it was such a bonding experience for us. So I actually have had the experience of the show bringing me closer to
yeah.
my mother. So I try to respect the
yeah.
What's her name? Kayla.
Kayla's. But she's a little rough.
So I know.
She really doesn't listen.
Well, the boundaries.
Sorry. Do we have an extra?
Yes.
Okay.
Here it is.
Guess what?
We're going to do a scene.
You are auditioning.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
For this new Ang Lee movie.
Wow.
This is a cold read.
And, oh, wow. I'll be the casting director playing Lucy.
Okay.
You are Margot.
Okay, wow. I haven't done this in a while.
Okay, I will read.
Do I get to know anything about the movie? Besides Amelie?
Okay. No, I'm so sorry.
Okay. Ready?
I'm glad you're ready.
Okay.
Interior, Margot's living room, day. We see Margot, which you'll be playing the part of today, Lauren, pacing back and forth. Lucy, Anna, is splayed on. By the way, I don't know if I properly introduced myself.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi, I'm Nancy Kerrigan.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I'm the casting director, but it's great to
see you. Nancy Kerrigan. The skating didn't work out.
Good one. Haven't heard that before. anyway, this is an Ang Lee movie. You're playing Margot. You're right. Pacing back and forth.
Okay.
I'll be playing the role of Lucy.
Okay.
I am splayed on the couch.
Splayed. Jeez, tell me something I don't know. What about all that money?
Sometimes I think, she had it coming, but I'm not even a violinist, so what do I know?
Wise up. Look at the stars. They always have the answers.
My stomach is making me feel hungry. You want to make dinner? I want to make Indian.
Why are you testing me today? I have a gun and two bullets, but all I need is one.
Sorry, we always talk about the same thing all the time.
Look, fine. If you really want to run around in grass skirts, then make enough money to spend Christmas at Club Med.
But when it's time for us to party, you'll know. Because you always know.
I know. Some babies are ugly. That is just a cold, hard fact.
I like that very much.
Okay, do you have an adjustment?
I do.
Okay.
Now, at this point, I know I can't really tell you too much about the script.
Right.
Margot and Lucy are sisters.
Oh.
Lucy's a younger sister, but they've been in a relationship for the last 2 years.
Wait, with each other?
Yes.
Oh, only.
At this point, they've lost a lot of money.
Okay.
That they desperately need.
Right.
Lucy is a bit of a pothead.
Okay.
So I want you to layer in more frustration, more anger, hint of lust.
Okay.
okay. And desperation, the neediness to get the money.
Okay. Geez, tell me something I don't know. What about all that money?
Sometimes I think she had it coming, but I'm not even a violinist, so what do I know?
Oh, wise up. Look at the stars. They always have the answers.
My stomach is making me feel hungry. You want to make dinner? I want Indian.
Why are you testing me today? I have a gun and two bullets, but all I need is one.
Sorry, we always talk about the same thing all the time.
Look, if you really want to run around in grass skirts, then make enough money to spend Christmas at Club Med.
But when it's time for us to party, you'll know. Because you always know.
I know. God, some babies are ugly. That is just a cold, hard fact. I forgot about the lust until like halfway through, and then I had to do it on bullets. Two bullets.
We found our Margot.
Wow. Oh, Mr. Lee. I mean, Miss Kerrigan. I'm so thrilled to be in your movie.
I'm calling.
By the way, I would do that all day. There should be a show
Isn't
of just cold reading. Because
right?
I love cold reading. I don't get to do it anymore. I like used to do so many commercials and just like walk in and be like, hey, do you ever wonder why cereal just doesn't taste right? Thank goodness you know about brand flakes or whatever. and it like keeps you on your toes. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. And this obviously doesn't make any sense. But.
What are you talking about? I know exactly what happens from there.
Should we do, would you, okay, all right. A sim is like this. Friendly sim. Sim, tell us
more about, yeah.
Oh my God, no, we don't have the time for that on the at all.
No?
He also, there was a girl that he went on a date with who didn't know what whitefish was or something like that, and then you refused. You told us all about it, all your friends, like it was some like crazy, but you were, right? I don't know.
Yes, you remember that, huh? Wow.
I remember because I was laughing at you being so pissed off about something that to me seemed pretty
I don't know
minor.
Why that angered me.
Are you from New York?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, totally.
But
that's
because
exactly right.
That's like whitefish salad is like, I didn't know what that was until I lived in New York.
She asked me if whitefish was a fish.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But wait, now, did you have a Valentine's
date? Is sweetbreads a bread?
Or on, sweet?
Maybe it's not unreasonable. Sorry, I mean to cut you up.
No, please. I'm just interviewing Sim now. Did you go out for Valentine's Day?
Yes. No, I have a girlfriend now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a long time ago, but I did go out for Valentine's Day.
And what did you give her?
I gave her a subscription to... Not a subscription. What is it called? Like a group of passes to infrared sauna.
Oh, I go
like
there.
Shape House.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. She loves that. So and she's always spending whatever $45.
Yeah.
A session
cool.
on that.
That's
so I said,
great.
I'll just give her a bunch of those and let's see if she likes it. And she loved it.
Oh, good.
Like, this is perfect. It's exactly what I wanted. I didn't get her a box of chocolates or whatever teddy bear.
And did you go out? Was it like a romantic evening?
We went to a really nice restaurant. Went to Isabel in West Hollywood. It was gorgeous.
Great. You guys and we had like, a really do nice dinners a lot.
Well, I don't see her that often. She works so much, so I want to be able to, spend some quality time with her.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thumbs up, Sim. Really
Thank
good
you
job.
So much.
Really
appreciate
killing
that.
It on Valentine's.
I didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything?
No, yesterday, nothing. But my husband's away, and he did send me flowers. But we made an agreement because we're not big Valentine's dayers.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's all it is. I have a friend who says about being in a relationship, he has a saying, which is, you just got to know who makes the coffee, which doesn't literally mean who makes the coffee, but it's like you kind of figure out what your things are and what your things aren't.
I like that.
And like you kind of be like, I really hate, loading the dishwasher. I don't mind it. I'll do it. You know what I mean? You just kind of like figure it out and then it takes the like
tension I like
away.
That. I like that. You got to figure out who makes the coffee.
Yeah.
Okay. So now this is a how would you proceed? You're at an Oscars party.
Okay.
You need to use the restroom. It's a packed party, but weirdly the restroom is empty except for Oprah. Oprah's standing there and she's at the counter. She's putting on a little powder, lipstick, whatever. And you use the restroom and wash your hands. She's still there. And she's like, I just have to tell you how much I love you. I'm such a huge fan of yours, and you're so beautiful, and you look gorgeous tonight, and it's such an honor. And then as she's showering you with compliments, she pulls out a joint, and she starts smoking it, and she continues to tell you how much she loves Gilmore Girls and how fearless you are and, how we have to be brave in this world and stand for something and maybe a little rambly. Then she puts she puts the joint out, and then she says, Lauren, I need a small favor. With my Weight Watchers contract, I get my urine tested every 3 days.
Oh,
and
God.
They test for my health and whatever routine things.
Oh,
but
my God.
Would you mind peeing in this small cup for me?
I can't do it, Oprah. I really can't do it.
Why? It's not. I mean,
Oprah. I think you are fantastic, and if it's not a felony, it's closer than I have ever come. And
Weight
I just
Watchers? Wait, what? That's not the feds.
But then, dear Oprah, God, these situations are really tough. I can't pee in a cup. I don't think for anyone.
You can't aim what?
No, I just. It just isn't right, and I think you...
That's where you draw the moral line, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in that particular situation, I don't know. It would feel so peer pressure-y because of course you would do like what Oprah asked you, but yeah. I know I would like go home feeling like sick to my stomach, that's my moral compass is like, yeah. Am I going to feel sick to my stomach later? Like, I think there are plenty of, I think this is revealing what a nerd, what a like not fun person I am, but I think there are plenty of people who'd be like, for the story. And then I peed in the cup. It was fantastic. Like right. I have friends like that yes. Who would be like, oh my God, this is now, I'll tell this on the Tonight Show, you know? But like, I get like very nervous in like a boundary situation like uh-huh. That. I couldn't do it. Have you lost all respect for me? Would you do
no.
it?
No. I thought it was a really thoughtful answer. Well, it's, you know, we create these crazy scenarios, and of course they would never happen. But would I – no. And I think I would say something like, I'm just not sure you want my pee.
Oh, wink, nice. Oh, that's good. Like, it's going to be way worse than pot.
Like, yeah. Like, I love you too.
Right. Wow, that's really smart. Because then that answer allows her to not feel put down. You know what I mean? It's like fibbing for your safety.
Yeah.
But then she can also walk away feeling like, you know.
Still good.
Yes. About, like, yeah. Wow. That's a good one.
Thanks. Okay, so now what are we doing?
We can go to callers.
Okay.
How do we, I don't understand technology. How do we have callers?
We're going to call them, actually.
Oh, really?
Yep, we have two people that we're going to call.
People submit questions, relationship questions.
And I love it. I love that you do this, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. Because, like, people want advice from people they look up to, you know?
Thanks.
And it's like it's old fashioned in a cool way.
I love like listening. I started this because I love listening to or reading relationship advice and columns and like. Anyway, sorry,
nope.
We got off a tangent, but thanks. Yeah, it's been really fun. I mean, we always have to preface it like we don't know what the fuck we're saying.
Right, of course. We're unqualified. Yeah. Obviously.
So we're gonna call Peter. Peter is in Toronto and he's 33.
Hello.
Hey, Peter. It's Sim. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing really well. I'm gonna introduce you to Anna right now.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Anna.
And our special guest today is Lauren Graham.
Do you know that?
Hi, Lauren Graham.
Hi, Peter. It's okay if you don't know who I am.
He definitely knows who you are.
I know who both of you are very well. I'm just trying to seem cool.
Okay. You seem very cool.
Yes.
So, Peter, tell us about your Italian boyfriend.
Okay, so I need to just condense this, but basically last summer I took a trip to Italy. After a really shitty 6 months that involved a breakup and a job change and a city change. And the whole plan was sort of this how Stella got her groove back sort of thing that I wanted to do. And it somehow worked out. I met this really incredible guy randomly in Rome, canceled my hotel, stayed 5 days with him at his apartment. And then when that was over, it was lovely, but I kind of assumed that was just my moment to, you know, find us for a minute. And I'm very lucky too. And then I'd go on with my life. But we kept talking and he decided to come to Toronto for 2 weeks in September. He met my family. It was just like perfect every day, every night. And we've been continuing since then. Over New Year's, I went and spent New Year's with his family. And after that, we've been waiting for a job or a visa and everything keeps failing. And at this point, it's either like he comes here and we get married and just try this, even though we've only spent maybe 25 days physically together. Or I just end it because there's no foreseeable point where it's going to work out. And it's really frustrating and I don't really know what to do. Hmm. So please tell me, Anna and
well,
Lauren.
You are in a quandary. But how well do you speak Italian and how well does he speak English?
His English is like basically perfect, even though he's a little sensitive about it. My Italian is almost complete garbage. I went on a vacation with him and his family. I basically just said pizza and spaghetti over and over again. And they just would pat me on the head and make me feel comfortable anyway. But yeah.
Wow. It's
how old is he?
He's 27 and I'm 33. He's at a crossroads in his life. He doesn't want to be in Italy. He wants to come here. And I'm okay with that. But it's just like, if that like really goes down, I don't know. It just would
so
be awful.
How does he feel about this right now? Does he want to marry you?
He's into it. He lived in Rome. He was a filmmaker. It wasn't really working out. After we met and we started hanging out, he basically put all his balls in the basket or eggs in the basket, whatever it's called, and moved back in with his parents. And he's just been waiting for the visa or the job to go through so he could come here. So he's basically given up his entire life already and is just waiting to come here, and he would do it. But I just don't know. I don't know. It just seems like a big deal.
It is a big deal. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's a big deal.
How long can he stay in the States with a...
Or he's like in Canada.
I mean, how long can he stay in Canada without having to go back? I mean, why is it marriage or nothing?
3 months. But then the 3 months are over. And also, like, I can't probably support him if he's living here and not making any income.
Right.
For more than, like, a month or two.
Right. And then resentment kind of grows, too.
And I don't want to do that. That's like, I don't want to mix money in with it. I'd like him to be independent.
He's pretty broke. Yeah. Yeah.
He has a little bit that could get him over here and get him started. But yeah.
Holy.
I guess
I know it's not ideal, but the 3 month option, at least he could maybe be,
well, there's no guarantee after the 3 months, right, Peter?
No, but I'm just wondering if it could even be like a short amount of time. Like, and then he spends the rest of the, if it doesn't work, like him staying with you for 3 weeks and that be the conditions that you guys set.
I'm okay with the idea of him coming here and just kind of winging it for a bit and seeing how that goes. But if he did that, he would have to be able to make money, do things like be a waiter, illegally, and just things that you could probably do to pull it off for a couple months. But I think he's very determined and he has a lot of pride and doesn't really necessarily want to not be advancing his career and what he's doing. I don't know. The whole thing's just, it seemed like such a fairy tale for like 6 months. And now I feel like it's kind of blowing up in my face a little bit.
Well, if this is your gut, I think you might have to listen to that. If you are viewing this as kind of blowing up in your face, as opposed to like, I'm, you know, swinging from the clouds in love, starry-eyed. That's something
but
different.
That said, I am kind of. And whenever I'm with him, I mean, I've had 4 long-term relationships that have all failed. And I've never felt this kind of camaraderie and sex appeal and everything all with him. It's all perfect when we're together. But to leave that and come all the way back over here and just kind of like wait, like I'm not sleeping with other people. I'm just kind of, you know, putting my life on hold until this works out. So it's.
And do you think his motives are all on the up and up?
Yes. Although I have thought about that. I, at this point, am pretty much certain that his motives are pure.
It's tough because there's no substitute for spending a lot of time with someone. I think you don't know, you know what you know, like right off the bat. And then it settles into, are we actually going to be able to live together and get along and do this for years and years? And there's kind of no skipping that, you know?
So, no, there isn't.
No.
That's true, but I don't know. I remember when I met Chris at 30, I mean, it was very immediate, you know, and that was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we still feel really in love. So it's a gamble. This one is just a gamble.
It comes
Peter.
Down to regret, you know. Are you going to regret this later?
Are you going to roll
don't,
the dice?
Yeah.
And I mean, you're talking to a couple of divorcees here too.
We're also gamblers, Anna. We also gamble with our lives all the time. We also usually take leaps and I don't know, if it was me and you think this is the guy, risk it. And then get divorced if it doesn't work out.
Well, there's regret both ways.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, exactly. There's like, regret both ways.
This is a win-win and a lose-lose because
exactly
one way you go and so it's people will tell you to go with your gut, but
it's incredibly complicated to get divorced legally in the States, in a lot of states. But what's it like up in Canada? How complicated is it?
I don't really know. I mean, I know my it seemed problematic and full of lawyers and money for my parents, but I don't know what
is
actually really happening.
As long as your assets are protected and you do a prenup and make sure that if your parents and you have to like join. I'm attempting.
Oh no, it's very sweet of you to think to have any assets at all.
That's great news.
Or you can protect future assets. I don't know. You can work out a prenup in different ways, I guess. Right.
Well, if they both are kind of broke, then it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. But what if he starts making money immediately? Then all of a sudden he'll be entitled to. I don't know what the rules are or the laws are in Canada, but he'll be entitled to half from the time that they're married.
Yeah, but that's the gamble that we took and we lost.
I think there's one more step before marriage. I think it's see if you can weather whatever this, and I get that he has pride and you need the money, but see if you can spend a longer time together in one place or the other and see what that feels like, because now it's like you had a vacation and then you went off with the family and it's very honeymoon-y. And you just need to figure out some way, even if it is going through the hardship of struggling together. I don't know. I just think you need a little more experience.
I'm so sorry to cut you off.
No.
I got all excited because I think that your advice, Lauren, is totally practical. Definitely the best road.
However.
But I'm going to say, Peter, I want you to have a hot Italian husband in your bed, keeping you warm through those cold Ontario winters.
Anna just goes, yes, wedding, yes, do it.
Do it.
I think you might regret it if you don't later.
If I met you in the middle and just like spent like a couple weeks instead of a long period of time, it's sort of half Lauren's plan and half Anna's plan, and then we'll see.
That's probably more practical.
Probably very practical. But I am super excited about your wedding.
Yes. I'm going to be super practical.
Lauren and I are going to perform monologues.
We are going to, what's our...
At your wedding.
Or a duet. We'll do leather and lace or something.
Oh my God.
Well, can you sing like an Italian song?
Oh, of course.
Oh, oh my God. Can you imagine?
That's Amore. Can you sing That's Amore?
Of course. I mean, for Peter, anything.
Please. I mean, I would be so honored at Toronto City Hall with four of the
people. But Peter, I just have one more question, which is, are you cautious because your parents were divorced and you saw them go through something complicated?
No, I think it's more that, I mean, I had like a 7-year relationship that ended really badly. And I think that scarred me. That's where most of the damage is from. It's not from my own parents because I was in my 20s when that happened.
Well, I think that's really, I'm sorry that it ended, but also that you've had such a long relationship, I think speaks really highly to your ability to, you know, weather tough times with somebody or in good times and just be a good partner. So I think you probably have a good instinct for if this is someone you can do that with.
Oh, I have a question for you too. How long do you have to be married illegally for this to make sense for him to get a green card? Isn't there a certain amount of time, like a year, where you have to stay married?
It's only a couple months.
Oh, it is.
I have a Canadian friend that married an American friend and watched them go through that process, but they were a lot more into their relationship. And it is fairly quick, but you do have to submit like all your emails and all your text messages and photos of the two of you in this huge package. It's insane.
I'm like sexy photos that
just to make sure they're legit. But anyone can doctor those or make make up scenes.
No, I'm literally wondering: do you have to send like sexy photos of like?
I'm sure they help.
Well, they go through our message history. It's like a very strange array of things that I would not want anybody to read. And there are some naked pictures in there because we are 7 bajillion miles apart. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what exactly they require, but I'm sure we could prove it.
Yeah. All right.
If it's 2 months, marry the guy.
Yep. I'm with Sim.
I'll take that with a grain of Lauren's.
Yeah, exactly.
And go forward.
Don't you want to go to like their Canadian Italian wedding?
I love that. I support and love that spirit. And like, I just was, I wouldn't pee in a cup for Oprah. Like, I'm just a cautious.
That's true.
I'm just a little
Peter,
more.
We did present her with a weird scenario about urination. But.
Well, if it works out, it'd be so amazing. And I will have you guys to thank. So.
Okay.
Oh, yay.
So it sounds like you're going to marry this guy.
Well, it's nice not to be cynical. I'm pretty cynical. This is a very romantic situation, and it's nice just to not be cynical and to just be romantic for a minute.
Yep.
I love it.
In 4 years, I'm a divorcee. But,
I mean, because truly, though, Peter, like when I was talking about the stuff with Chris earlier, I really did. I was 30, and I had been married before, and I had this really strong feeling that I was going to marry him very, very early on. And I felt that way before in my previous relationships. It didn't work out, obviously. But what I'm saying is that it's okay to not view that that giddy highness with complete cynicism, mm-hmm. you know? I think it's okay to like, you know, to embrace it and to believe, like, maybe this is kind of wonderful.
My parents knew each other a total of 1 week before they got engaged, and now they've been married for 41 years.
They have a great relationship.
They do.
The thing that I feel most encouraged by is it should be easy. The beginning should just be like, it's just easy. You're like, oh, there's no games, there's no drama. There's just like, I want to see this person again. How fun, how great. And it sounds like that is what you've had.
Totally.
That's great. That's such a great way to put it.
Because, again, down the road, life gives you whatever it's going to give you.
That
was the difference for me.
But yeah, if you're seeing a lot of red flags.
That's right.
Then it's like, yeah.
But not even that. It should just be like, I can't wait to see that person and talk to them again. Like, it's so fun and, you know, great. And it sounds like that's what you have. So that's very rare.
I think so, too.
Peter.
Oh, Peter, please.
We want it to work out for you.
You've given me a lot to think about, and I'm very grateful for that.
Wait, one last question. Where in Italy is your boyfriend from? You can just tell me vaguely.
I met him in Rome, but now he's moved back to his parents' house in the south of Italy, Puglia, which is like the heel of the boot. Actually, shouldn't be saying this much because, he's going to figure it. If he listens to this, he's going to know it's me.
Do you think he listens to
us? We've listened to this podcast a couple times together.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
But I don't think he listens to it regularly, and I'm not going to ever encourage it again.
No, because I think I love it. And I love you guys. And my vote is to roll the dice. But listen to Lauren.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Wow.
No problem. Have a great day.
Thank you. We love you, Peter.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you too. Bye.
Wait, how do we know what's going to happen? Do you ever do a show?
Yeah,
where
we do. We do updates.
Okay,
right, yeah, we do updates as well.
Yeah.
Wow. Because that was a really compelling one.
He really sounded.
He's into him.
He didn't.
Yeah.
I was surprised because I was.
They're into each other. Yeah.
Cynical at first, a little bit. You mm-hmm. know. I didn't want to hurt his feelings at all by questioning about the idea of motives.
Mm-hmm. I love that they've each spent time with the other one's family.
Yes. Yeah.
Because,
that's
you know, important. Sometimes you have those, like, I met this, you know, you have those whirlwind things, but it never gets into, like, real life. And yeah. I love that they've both enjoyed each other's family.
Should we wrap it up?
No, one more call.
Oh, are you sure?
We have time,
yeah,
right?
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we are calling Kirsten. She is also in Toronto. And she's 23. Two Canadians today, Anna.
Wow.
Kirsten or Kirsten?
Kirsten. I asked her. It's Kirsten.
That's the old Anna problem.
Sure.
Actually, we talked about that.
Oh, you did?
Earlier today, yeah. Hey, Kirsten. It's Sim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Here's Anna.
Hi, Kirsten.
Hi, Anna.
And guess what? Lauren Graham is here.
Hi.
Yeah, we were just having the Kirsten. And you know my feelings about Anna.
I can't
ever be mad at anybody because it's only at my parents.
I know, that's so true. And I was telling Sim earlier that I have people who have called me the wrong name for probably about 2 years now. And it's just at that point where it's so awkward that you can't say
your name
is a different name.
I swear Chris is afraid to say my name. So he just calls me Babe. He still doesn't know.
So Kirsten, you and your husband are on opposite sides of something I'm sure is relatable to many couples. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah. So me and my husband got married about 5 months ago, and before the marriage, we were having all these discussions about married life, basically, and one of the big ones was whether I was going to change my name or not, and I was on the side of keeping my maiden name, and kind of to my surprise, he was very firm on me taking his last name, so we had all of these conversations.
And this is all before, obviously, you get married, right?
Yeah, before we got married, yeah. So we both kind of came with our arguments, and mine was, you know, the classic argument that why should I have to take your name when it's not even a conversation about if you're taking my name? And then I thought, came to a conclusion that I would hyphenate and any of our future children would have his last name. But since we got married, I feel like it's still not completely resolved and I haven't legally changed my name yet. I'm still my maiden name. And I found a couple weeks ago in his cell phone that he had actually changed my name to just his last name and not the hyphenated name. So I was
aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. So really, anytime we talk about it, we don't really get to a conclusion and just keep circling back around to our same arguments and we can never really figure out what we should do, basically.
Do you think it makes him feel insecure that you won't take his name? Does it make him feel like there's some part of you that is not fully committed? And or does it make you feel like what's the emotion behind the discussion?
I think that might be a small part of it. And I think he just has this image in his mind that says, you know, the last name on the mailbox and this family unit that all has the same name. And I think there is a sense that, you know, there isn't a full commitment. And yes, unless I've taken his last name, which my argument is that I don't think that really matters. I kind of feel like to give up my name that's been a part of my life for so long, it's almost like an identity taken away from me. So I definitely think there is a part of that in there for sure.
I understand some of those feelings. I didn't take Chris's last name. Partly because of career stuff, but it was never an issue.
I feel like it's less of an issue among actors because...
Yeah, because it's sort of like, well, I got it.
You're already established as, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that you own this one, is my opinion, that this is your choice, and it's not his. And I think that you should, just because you have the control to change everything... I think mm-hmm. you just don't do anything and don't bring it up. And then in a few months, maybe if he brings it up, you say, you know what, honey, I love you so much. I love your family. I love your name. But I want to keep my name. And this is a decision I've made. And it's not your decision.
Don't you think she already compromised by hyphenating?
Oh, totally.
So she's done enough as far as I'm concerned. That's a big deal.
I think... Aren't you talking a little bit about just going back to your original name without hyphenating?
Or are you going to keep the hyphen?
Because she hasn't changed any...
Oh, okay. But the compromise that you made where you told him that you were going to hyphenate it, right? So he would want that at the very least if you're going to say, I'm not going to take your...
I just think you don't do anything and drop the subject and continue to refer to yourself by whatever name you want. And you don't change anything. And when he brings it up, I think you just say, very gently, I love you very much, but this is mine. And I know that you have strong feelings and I really respect that. And I'm trying to understand, I try to understand them, but I have made the decision that this is me.
Do you agree with him on the kids? Would you have a problem with the kids having his last name?
No, I on that point, I do agree that they should have his last name. So that was something that we didn't disagree on. It was more so just what I would go by. And I think he really felt that he wanted everyone to have the same name and that it would kind of be weird that I would be the odd one out. But I just don't really see it that way. And I think that's like a lot of where we differ.
But if people, like if you go to a hotel or something, and they're like Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, like... Would that bother you to the degree that would you correct somebody? Like, I wonder if he wants to feel like this family unit and it sounds like he's kind of a traditional guy and maybe to have you not take his name feels like, I don't know, I get the sense he feels embarrassed or insulted somehow.
And the ownership thing that she mentioned.
Yes, right. Well,
yeah.
I mean, that is what it is, isn't it? And it is very old fashioned when you think about it. And yet it's part of society, you know, it's an accepted part of what we still do in society. So it sounds like you guys have a very big difference on that. But I wonder if he can kind of get that sense that he's looking for, you know, of unity, you know, but if you can maintain your independence, which sounds like it's really important to you, which I agree with Anna, is like a very, it's something to hang on to. It's your name. I've never been confronted with it, but
It's yours. This is yours. This is your decision. This is your call.
Do you not like his last name? Mm-hmm. Is that any part of it?
I would say that's a small part of it, but it's not like 3% out of 100.
Right. I just this reminds me of friends of mine who they had this similar situation, and part of it was that she didn't. His last name was a tough one. A name that he'd gotten teased for as a kid, and they have kids, and she just didn't want the kids to have to go through that teasing. And so they combined their last names into a new last name.
Wow.
I know.
That's pretty awesome.
I know.
Yeah, that's cool.
So.
No, I hear, but practically in the next few months, here's what I would do. Continue on your course of not changing anything. If you feel like you want to be, well, so God, are you supposed to edit that out?
Yeah, I'll edit that out. Don't worry.
Sorry. Oh my God.
No, that's okay.
Shit. Sorry.
No, that's completely okay.
Now you
okay.
can edit that out too. Cocksuck. I've been a meltdown. Anyway, practical advice. Stay the course. Don't change anything, but don't bring it up. And if he brings it up, And don't bring up the phone. Let that one go.
Because he's proud. There's pride in that.
Yeah.
That he's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, and he'll, you know, so many guys out of sight, out of mind. He'll probably have kind of forgotten in a way. And
that's probably true.
Yeah. And you can keep yourself, and then when he does bring it up, I think then you can just say in a very loving way, this is mine and I love you.
And I would add, and maybe this is just being an older person, to reassure him when this comes up, it's not that you don't love being married to him, it's not that you aren't committed, it's not that you have one foot out the door, it's just, it's your name, and you know what, yes, you discussed it before you got married, but this is just still how you feel, but it isn't about, you know, you're not taking away. I just sense there's like an insecurity there of, you know, somehow that he feels if you don't take his name, you're somehow not invested or something.
Right.
And if that isn't true,
he could be getting a lot of pressure from his mom.
Oh,
the mother-in-law,
right.
The mother-in-law factor. That could be a really heavy.
Also,
presence.
You guys are so young. I feel like it's something that it won't be as big a deal a few years from now.
Yeah, no, this is all, it all sounds really good. I think that, that was kind of how I was sort of feeling before, but it definitely makes me feel a lot better about the situation because it was always I go back and forth of, well, do I just give in and is it really that big a deal or is this something that I should really stand my ground on because I do feel so strongly about it. So this is really good.
I think never give in to something that then will cause resentment because if you do something just for him, then every time he says his name that doesn't feel like your name, it will actually, I think, create more issues. So you're right to...
And always follow your gut. If you feel strongly about this, that's follow your gut. Fight for the things that you feel strongly about.
Yeah.
But don't fight with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
He's in a fragile little place.
Yeah.
Little baby bird.
Yeah.
Kirsten, thank you so much for hanging
out
with us tonight.
We love you.
Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
What sweetie pies. Wow.
Bye.
Bye.
We do have the most amazing listeners and callers. We have really like a great group of people. And someday I'm going to buy the island of Sardinia and we're all going to live there. Everybody's invited.
That's so nice.
Camp unqualified.
Wow.
Lauren Graham, thank you so much for being here.
I can't believe it. It flew by. It was so much fun. And I just love that you're reaching out to people and it's
thank
fantastic.
You.
You're welcome.
I almost forgot. Though, sorry, I hate it when I have to like sometimes I don't know. Sometimes during the podcast, I have to deal with his nonsense anyway. But I did almost forget a very important part of the podcast.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable saying fuck?
Okay, yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay. On the count of three, we say fuck you, Sim.
Okay.
And will you guys join?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we'll have a little chorus. Ready?
But I've grown to love Sim.
You can say it to him very lovingly.
Oh, okay.
There's no rules.
You're so sweet.
You can say it angry. You can say it loving. Okay. You can... I do a whole evening.
Yes.
Okay, ready? One, two, three. Fuck you, Sim.
I really felt love there.
I tried to give you a real loving one.
It was good. We almost harmonized.
Yeah.
Follow us on Unqualified on all of our social media, and please leave a review on iTunes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you. Guys, fantastic.
Wow. Oh, great. Thank you so much.